version on there, so I'm going to cut it a little short. Welcome to Conundrum with Cougar and Slider, and I'm Cougar.
And I'm Slider, and Happy New Year to you all.
Happy New Year. For those who are up partying too much, I'll translate that to Happy New Year.
For the headaches. Yes, I had thought we were going to be just talking to Simon today. I thought it was going to be very relaxing,
and
you know.
And all of a sudden, bam!
All of a sudden, lots of people. Should we do a quick shout-out?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, then. Well, first of all, we've got Kathy's Distant Echoes, which is Julie. We've got Christy Who, Curious Times, Guest 5337, Jennifer's Journey, Sherry 14, Simon Swain, Skycrow, Slider 2732, and that's me, Supernatural Radio, and Walk With Spirit.
And thank you all for being with us.
Indeed.
We got some interesting stories today, and first I'd like to talk about Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's been and gone.
That's been and gone, but I'd like to say what I did with my Christmas money.
Sure.
My uncle sent us money, and I bought a guitar.
A guida, as you call it.
A guida. So I've been learning how to play guitar, and Mark bought, with money that my folks gave us, he bought a camera.
Yeah, still on his way from California.
So, just a couple nice little gifts we got ourselves, and so I'm learning how to play guitar, and my fingers are getting numb. And
well, you know, if you play a decent enough tune, you could put it on the front, because a lot of these tunes
are getting
the scratchy audio is very strange.
You know, I wonder if it's because I use that quick download.
Oh, I don't know.
If that's why it gets like that. But it seems like the last few that I've downloaded have gotten that warble to it.
And don't download them.
Well, you asked me to do that one.
Yeah, well, I thought it was pretty hard today. So, well, should we do the Worldwide Weird News Stories?
Let's do the Worldwide Weird Stories.
All right, well, first of all, I've got a couple of quick mentions. And firstly, I learned something I didn't know the other day on Jay Leno's Garage on YouTube about British law. The former Tonight Show host was talking about a 1929 Brough Superior SS100 motorbike. And though I've not got much of an interest in motorbikes, something he said was quite fascinating. It turns out that T.E. Lawrence, who was Lawrence of Arabia, owned 7 of those motorbikes, and that model had the fame of being able to do 100 miles an hour. To me, Lawrence of Arabia was the guy in the 1980s Turkish Delight advert in the UK. But anyway, one day he was motoring along, and as he rode toward the crest of a hill, 2 young lads on pedal bikes came into view. He attempted to miss them, swerved and crashed the bike. He later died of his injuries, and that's how wearing a helmet became the law in the UK.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I never knew that one. Anyway, speaking of things that might not be known, did you know that vampire bats can run?
No way.
Uh-huh. Apparently, they use their back legs to walk about at speeds up to a couple of miles per hour, and then they break out into a loping gait by using their arms, which are more powerful because of the wings being attached to them.
Huh.
I saw some fascinating footage of a bat on a treadmill.
I'd hate to say.
Honestly, it was a bat on a treadmill. And they were shooting the flames, you know.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, and studied how it ran.
Oh, jeez.
So, anyway, also something relating to Oklahoma, where we are, EnidNews.com reporting that there are more than half a dozen researchers at the USGS that are now investigating the sudden uptick in earthquakes in our area. There have been more than 500 magnitude 3.0 or greater earthquakes in Oklahoma last year, up significantly from 109 in 2013 and just 35 in 2012, according to US Geological Survey officials. As of last Monday, there had been 549 of the higher magnitude quakes in 2014, with 19 being magnitude 4.0 or greater. In the old days, people would apparently put 50 cents in a box that was fitted to a hotel bed, but it's now not even in use, is it? You don't need to do that anymore.
Jeez.
So, anyway, on to the main news stories. This week's odd or weird reports are mostly space or UFO related. Not through intent, it's just that's how they've kind of fell with the news stories this week. Unfortunately, though, they don't include the ghost of a Bigfoot flying a UFO. Not that I've seen.
Yet.
Yeah, that's a point. Yet. Now, firstly, the CIA, this is a big story of the week. The CIA put out an interesting tweet this week that read, "Number one most read on our best of 2014 list, reports of unusual activity in the skies in the 50s. It was us." What they're claiming is that the U-2 spy plane was responsible for most 1950s and 1960s UFOs all over the world. Yeah. Also, the such sightings are what formed the reason to set up Project Blue Book. While no doubt a few people will have seen the originally silver-coloured aircraft up high in the sky, can the CIA really be so arrogant as to claim that most UFOs are because of a few spy planes? The other important thing here about the U-2 is that it looked more like a glider with long wings and a definite tail.
And excuse me, but that thing flew so high that people wouldn't have seen it anyway.
That's the point, isn't it? 65,000 feet or something. There's nothing about it that's out of the ordinary, really, for an aircraft shape. Although,
no.
Up that high, I guess you're not going to be able to see it as well. There is a PDF to download, and in the links on our WordPress page, you can find that. It really does make interesting formally classified reading about the U-2 program, and within which they state about the UFO reports. Well, yeah, really?
I don't buy it.
1950s and 60s?
Nice try.
Yeah, they don't stop on a dime, they don't turn 90 degrees, and they don't abduct cows and things.
Yeah, right.
Not as far as I
or
know.
People.
Again, it could have been the ghost of Bigfoot flying them.
Yeah.
Who knows? Okay, next story here. Now, some guys spend their time restoring automobiles, devoting garage space to motionless Corvettes and Camaros. David Paris is making his own warp drive.
What?
Warp drive. Yeah. To hear him and his small team of supporters tell it, something weird is happening out there in the garage. The compression of the fabric of space, Paris says, matter-of-factly. Paris's garage is exactly as it sounds. This is not some converted hangar or temperature-controlled shed. Paris Laboratory, the headquarters for his Space Warp Dynamics endeavor, is attached to a mid-size Axabin area home, where he lives with his wife and their cat. It's split into halves, each side large enough to accommodate a not very large car. It's hot in the winter and cold, hot in the summer and cold in the winter. It's just a garage. On average, he spends a couple of hours a day there, almost every day of the week. To bend the fabric of space, he sits in front of a tray of instruments, twisting knobs and glancing every now and then into the Faraday cage, where 3.5-pound weight sits hanging inside an electrically isolated case. Outside the case hangs a strange instrument made up of V-shaped panels with fractal arrays on the surfaces. The instrument is the latest version of what Paris believes is the world's first low-power warp drive motor.
That sounds like what's his name, Jobin Hutchinson?
It does say, a little bit of Hutchinson element to it, isn't there?
Yeah.
But this guy is creating his own warp drive.
And was the name of the town Atchison, perhaps?
No, it was like Prisoner of Azkaban. It was Axabam.
Oh, okay.
Not quite sure where
it is. Sorry, just trying to help you.
Just to end with, the tinkerer believes that that nature sometimes manifests the right electrical conditions in places such as the Bermuda Triangle. Strange conditions that, when just right, squeeze that slinky coil spring effect and allow for an odd space-time effect.
Huh.
It's weird to think of it as a slinky spring, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
But is he onto something?
I don't know.
If he
sounds like a John
Hutchinson
kind of thing.
Yeah, well, it could be then.
You know,
some of Hutchinson's work is not to be thrown out with
some
of the other.
Oh, no. And I think some of the stuff that he just throws in there is just to get the trail off of him.
It'll be like the Alex Jones theory and
what's
David
that?
Icke, and that they do things a little bit amiss, like rants and raves or whatever, to take, a more critical eye
off
them.
Of them. Yeah.
Right, on to the next story. An alien coffin might possibly be added to the long list of curious objects found on the surface of the Red Planet. Should NASA's Curiosity rover take a closer look at some of those things that really stand out on Mars? Well, Will Farrar, a UFO hunter from Maryland, United States, noticed a strange box-shaped object as he was looking through a set of photos taken by the Mars Curiosity rover. The image shown on RT's webpage is the coffin-type shape that Will has found. Alien researcher Scott Waring of the UFO Sightings Daily website also believed the stone object could be a coffin and might be of some interest to the U.S. Space Agency. Coffins are made to stand the test of time, but this one is made from a stone-like substance, Waring blogged on Sunday. What would it take to get NASA to turn the rover around and examine the contents of this box? It's strikingly uniform in contours and shape. It looks like a loaf of bread, or indeed a coffin. But to me, it looks more like one of those, a sort of wooden railing from around the outside of a church, say.
I thought it looked like a
wooden,
tube.
Sorry, a stone.
Yeah, like a tube gutter kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does look a bit anomalous set on there,
There are so many anomalous pictures coming from Mars lately.
Hmm.
It's just...
Just one is truly anomalous. There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
But they need to trundle over there with a little spade and a little light.
They'll
thing
never
and,
do it.
You know, yeah,
they'll never
look,
do
don't
it.
They? All right, so staying with Mars, I said there was a space theme. It's just the way they dropped. Could the reason that life on Mars no longer exists, at least from what we know, be that it was destroyed by an alien race using advanced nuclear weapons systems? Physicist Dr. John Brandenburg recently published a study suggesting that two races of beings, the Cydonians and the Utopians, were killed off in dual nuclear explosions that left Mars in the state we currently observe it today. Interesting as a physicist. At some point in the past, says Dr. Brandenburg, the climate of Mars was similar to that of Earth, with all sorts of diverse animal and plant life. As far as intelligent life, beings with knowledge roughly equivalent to the ancient Egyptians here on Earth flourished in multiple regions of the planet, which was also likely a different colour from the red we see now. But everything changed when alien invaders, decided to launch their own large-scale version of Hiroshima and Nagasaki by dropping nuclear bombs on the two major races, wiping them out completely. Now, traces of uranium and thorium, two radioactive elements, what's that?
I was just going to say, is there any radiation?
Well, apparently, yes. Thorium and uranium linger on the surface of Mars, while xenon-129 persists in the Martian atmosphere. The Martian atmosphere is covered with a thin layer of radioactive substances, including uranium, thorium, and radioactive potassium. And this pattern radiates from a hot spot on Mars, says Dr. Brandenburg. A nuclear explosion could have sent debris all around the planet. That is interesting.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I was wondering if they're going to go and tout that it was a nuclear explosion or whatever. Do they have proof of radiation on the planet or anything?
Secondly,
like that?
Can you get things like meteorites coming in and creating the same effects? Can they carry those nuclear isotopes and what have you? And, you know, the impact site of that meteor is what's giving those readings. I would suggest that's more likely.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he arrived at the Cydonians and Utopians, but I guess we have the face on Mars and the pyramid structures in that area. Anyway, so staying in space, but we're off to a different planet. Julie, do you fancy naming a crater on a planet?
No, what would I name it?
Oh, indeed, what would you name it?
I can't come up with anything right now.
That's a good name. I can't come up with anything right now.
Okay.
All right, so with the Messenger spacecraft having been in Mercury's orbit for about a decade, taking pictures of the surface, NASA are appreciating the success by asking the general public to name five of the craters that have been discovered. The competition closes on the 15th of January, with the final selections in the hands of the International Astronomical Union. The criteria are that the names must be of persons who have been dead for at least 3 years and have been recognized for more than 50 years as having made a significant contribution in the arts and humanities.
Elvis Presley.
Interesting. The Elvis Presley crater.
The Elvis Presley crater.
A web search can allow checking that the name's not already taken elsewhere in the solar system. Ha ha! We don't know there isn't already an Elvis Presley crater on Mars,
that's
do we?
True.
Or the moon, or wherever. In my opinion, they should all be called Bob. All of the names are void. That's a Blackadder reference. I shall call you Bob.
Crater Bob.
Now, Christmas Day brought an interesting tweet from astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson. It read, "On this day long ago, a child was born who, by age 30, would transform the world. Happy birthday, Isaac Newton, born December the 25th, 1642.
Dun,
now,
dun, dun.
Would you consider that offensive? Some devout Christians have flown off their handles, apparently, and think it was a terrible thing to do to their day. Well, people have to choose to be offended, and there's nothing false about the tweet. It was just a clever bait and switch. I thought it was pretty comical myself. And finally, away from space for the final story, in a bizarre turn of events, it seems that a message board poster in China foresaw the AirAsia flight disappearance. Flight 8501 wasn't referenced directly. Instead, the poster repeatedly warned any passengers of AirAsia to avoid flying with the airline in the coming weeks, because they'd end up like Malaysian flight MH370 that disappeared last March. YouTuber Dabu7 picks up on the info, and the link is on our WordPress page to his video that outlines the various postings that the Chinese person made. It's pretty weird.
That's wild.
I know they found debris now, you know, and there's some closure there for the relatives. But
didn't you say they found some bodies?
Yeah, well, I think one place was reporting 30, another was just saying 3 in their report instead, and I'm not sure what else has happened, but some debris has now been shown too, and horrible events.
Yeah.
But how weird for that Chinese guy to start saying, steer clear of AirAsia.
Yeah.
The only thing I can imagine is that some people were saying, well, steer clear of Virgin Atlantic, steer clear of, you know.
You know, I was listening to The Stand, Stephen King's The Stand. And I don't know how true the statistics in there were, but they were quoting statistics about how often planes that go down and trains that crash are not full. And they're usually about 30% capacity of what full
right.
is.
Right.
Because
oh,
people get, you know, they
Definition.
Don't know why, but their stomach hurts that day.
Mm.
They got the flu. They had an appointment come up. All these kind of things. And these planes are less filled. Planes and trains are less filled than they normally are
well,
if they
markedly
don't crash.
So. Yes, markedly so,
right.
though, by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
And maybe this Chinese guy just simply had a premonition and was going off the handle a bit, trying to warn everyone.
Yeah.
Well, good on him if people did take heed.
Yeah.
I know there was one family of 11, was it, that that missed the flight because it actually took off, I think, 2 hours earlier than it was supposed to. From what I was reading. We don't have news, we don't have TV here, so I was
right.
just reading online reports. And it seems they missed the flight, and luckily so for them.
Yeah.
But a bit weird for it to have taken off 2 hours early as well. Anyway, that's the worldwide weird news stories for this week.
Yeah, cool. And now we're off to some weird and not so weird New Year's Eve traditions.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I hope everybody out there had a wonderful New Year's Eve. We just watched The Fifth Element. If you've ever seen that movie, we watched that and had chips, and
uh-huh.
Mark drank beer, and I drank pop.
Yeah, it's copious wheat ale. Well, so
uh-huh.
one of them was wheat. He used red wheat from Oklahoma. So I did a bit of local research, I should say.
Give it a trial. Yeah.
Give it a trial or two.
All right. In America, we don't do anything too weird for a tradition. You know, you have your wine and food, and that's supposed to symbolize hope and prosperity.
Right, but no swapping of coal at the front door and all that kind of stuff.
No.
Is that the direction you're headed?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, okay.
One kind of weird thing is football tournaments are telecast across the country, and many Americans prefer to enjoy a relaxed New Year's Eve watching the game with friends and family.
Well, that's fair enough, though.
Yeah, if you're of that ilk. The most celebrated event is perhaps the ball drop in Times Square.
The what?
The ball drop, you know, where they have the big glass ball that comes down the thing. Oh, yeah.
I don't know anything
Starts
about it.
Starts at 11:59. I thought that's why we were watching the protests.
Yeah, but it never made it to Times Square, so I missed that bit. They got stopped by the police.
It happens in Times Square. Where it's 11:59, it starts dropping, and when it gets down to the last 10 seconds, they count off. 10, 9, 8, 7, blah, blah, blah.
Why does a ball drop? What is it?
Well, it just drops, and then when it hits the bottom of the thing, it lights up,
uh-huh.
and then the fireworks start. What happened was back in 1907 was when they started celebrating New Year's with fireworks.
Uh-huh.
2 years later, they banned fireworks.
Uh-huh.
So the people planning celebrations for New York City decided to do this
symbolic
ball
dropping. The ball going upwards and then fireworks from the top would have worked. You know, we're rising up towards the start of the new year.
Maybe it was because at that time the hydraulics for lifting it, you know, slowly and in a certain time frame.
I don't know, but it's quite
fascinating,
isn't it?
Difficult, so it's easier to let it drop at a certain rate. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, yeah.
So that's how that all started. Now, United Kingdom, when
I
asked
you... I have to watch a video of that, because I've never seen it in my life. All I know is
you've
got all these coloured screens everywhere, advertising, flashing and all this, and loads of people going, yay!
It used to be Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve, and he would show the ball dropping on there. But, of course, now he's died, and I haven't had TV since he's died, so I don't know what they do for, you know. I think they just have other hosts and stuff, and they have different bands playing songs and
mm-hmm,
a lot of music at the Times Square.
Yeah, as I say, I was watching a group of protesters walking down there. I thought they might be trying to upset things or make a statement there, and
mm-hmm.
they got stopped by the police about three blocks short.
There's at least a million people in Times Square when this goes down every year.
Yeah.
So.
And the ball drops.
We've got all four cats in the bedroom, and Kalo's begging for attention from Mark here.
Yes, the older one here. Right, carry on.
Come on. Okay, United Kingdom, and when I told you about this one, you didn't know about it.
No.
So, it's called First Footing.
Mm. Oh, no, I knew. I kind of knew about it, but not. I didn't know specifics.
Uh-huh. It says, a tall, handsome, dark-haired male has to be the first visitor of the household after midnight. He has to be handsome, too. He carries a loaf of bread, a bottle of whiskey, some coal, and salt.
Expensive.
You put the coal in the fire and serve the bread and drink to the family and wish them a happy new year. entry from the front door and exit from the back door that bring good luck and prosperity to the household. Also, the major celebration is going to the Thames and watching fireworks over Big Ben as it strikes 12.
This coal business is quite funny, because what do they do nowadays? Just put a piece of coal on a radiator.
Yeah, right. And I
How's that going
to
work?
I was talking to my dad about the Christmas tradition that if you've been a bad kid, you get a lump of coal in your stocking.
Uh-huh.
And I wondered where that ever began.
Well, it saves for New Year if that kid's the first one through the door.
Yeah, yeah, save it.
Course, you know.
Save it for then.
Yeah, yeah. Give it to the dad for the New Year.
Denmark has kind of a weird
tradition. What happens over there?
They save up their dishes, their old dishes and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Then they go around and start throwing them at the front doors of their friends.
Not their enemies?
No, their friends. And the one that has the most broken dishes in front of their door has the most friends.
What about the one with the most broken windows?
Broken windows because they missed.
Yeah, exactly.
Missed
you've got to
the
be
door.
A good aim, haven't you?
Yeah. What if you have a glass door?
What if all the Jewish folks want to get married at the same place?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's two for one.
Everybody's breaking everything.
There you go. Was it Greek? I'm sorry. Which one is it?
It's
the breaking place.
The Jewish stomp on a plate with the heel, and the Greeks throw glass.
Oh, there you go.
Glasses,
you know, all that going off on somebody's porch.
You know, drinking glasses.
Yeah, New Year.
Yeah. Some Danish are found to leap some chairs during midnight, and I think that means that they get on top of a chair and jump off at midnight.
Drink-related. I bet some broken chairs the next morning, too, from the doorways. It's great,
though. Chinese follow the lunar calendar, so their time is a little different than ours.
Chinese New Year.
Chinese New Year is known as Yuan Tan and may occur any day between mid-January and mid-February. The Chinese celebrate the New Year with much pomp and grandeur and with celebrations, and the celebrations may continue for 10 to 15 days.
Mm-hmm.
Holy hangover.
Do you know what? It is kind of a silly one, but because a lot of people order things from China now, especially electronics or whatever, other goods.
You
have to factor in the Chinese New Year that your slow boat from China might take even longer.
Oh, sure.
Now, just because a lot of stuff's been pushed over to China for being made. You could also find that your bargain stores and the rest go a bit short of goods.
Very true. I didn't think of that.
Mm. It's amazing the amount of, you know, that does come out of China now and how it's affected by the New Year.
Huh. Didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Beating of drums and cymbals are believed to drive away the evil.
Where?
In China.
Oh, yeah.
Lion dance and feasting take care of the entertainment. Friends and relatives visit each other. Gift of red envelope containing money called Lai Si.
That sounds a good one.
Is exchanged as good luck. And I believe they also paint their front doors red for good luck. Red is the color of luck.
Really?
Yep.
Well,
yes,
you just
sir.
Go around with a red front door all the time, don't you?
Yeah. See, I'd like to paint our front door red.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Since 1873, Japan has officially adopted the Gregorian.
Rust treatment's red. We can do that to the back door.
Yeah.
It makes it a
don't do anything to it, it'll just be red eventually.
Brown, anyway. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Since 1873, Japan has officially adopted the Gregorian calendar. Before that, Japan celebrated New Year in accordance with the Chinese lunar calendar. What they do is they visit temples to pray for the departed and for a good harvest. Temple bells are rung 108 times to scare off 108 evils.
And where did they get 108 from?
Just blew it out of their head. I don't know.
No, there'll be some reason.
Yeah. Decorative rice cakes called mokis are made.
Oh, yeah.
And they hang straw ropes at the entrance to bring good luck.
Tell you, I made some rather nice rice cakes when I was a kid with chocolate on the top. Ooh,
really?
Good. Cooking at school, yes. We started cooking class, yeah. Rice cakes with chocolate, you can't beat it.
Huh.
Rice Krispies, I think.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Use Rice Krispies, yeah, that'd be good.
Rice Krispies, butter, sugar, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Thing, I don't know.
Rice Krispie bars, I love Rice Krispie bars.
Mm-hmm.
Yum. France, en français, is known as Jour de Train and Jour de l'An. And other celebrations are referred to as Réveillon.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
I took French. I don't think I'm doing very good. It is believed that feasting will bring about prosperity. As such, special feast called as Le Réveillon de Saint Sylvestre is planned.
Who is Saint Sylvestre?
He was the saint that died on
Saint Sylvester
January 1st.
Oh.
No, not Saint Sylvester Stallone.
Okay.
But he was a saint. I don't know what he was patron saint of, but he died.
Movies.
He died either on January 1st or right around that area, so they celebrated as his his day. Families meet and greet. Champagnes are in cork. Huge and pompous parties are organized.
A pompous party. What does one of those look like?
Pompous parties.
Yeah.
In Spain, remember I mentioned in the introduction, what do grapes have to do with New Year's?
Yeah, and underwear was the other one. I want
to know
You're lucky to get grapes in January anyway.
Undergunders. Yeah, well, in Spain, as a midnight strikes, it is customary to eat quickly 12 grapes, one at each stripe of the clock. These are supposed to bring good luck.
That's a good tradition. I like that.
Yeah. Well, I'd just stuff them all in my mouth at one time and then probably choke.
In fact, drinking 12 shots, one per strike, would be pretty good, too.
Oh, my gosh.
That'll be the end of your night, pretty soon.
Alcohol poisoning.
Definitely.
No kidding.
Well, get some of that whiskey. Invite somebody around, you see, a tall, handsome, dark-haired guy with his whiskey, just before midnight, fill up your top glasses, and off you go.
Yep.
And he
can
exit out the back door and probably dial the ambulance.
Dropped on the ground.
Yeah.
Sri Lanka.
Oh, okay.
New Year is known as Aluth Avrudhu. Avrudhu. And occurs in mid-April. Rituals include house cleaning, lighting of the hearth, herbal bathing, making auspicious dishes, and strengthening of family relationships.
It sounds good, but why April?
Probably has to do with the Japanese traditional New Year was back in April.
Okay.
So Sri Lanka probably followed that. What can you imagine Germany does for a tradition?
I don't know.
This is different.
Has it got something to do with, like, chimneys and...
No.
Okay.
The Germans drop molten lead into cold water to see what shape it takes.
That's a cool idea.
And predict the future, each shape symbolizing an aspect of life, love, prosperity, etc. Families get together for meals at midnight with some bits left behind as a good omen, ensuring abundance in the coming year.
Hopefully not bits of lead left on the
plate. No kidding. Yeah, that's one thing I was wondering
about. Yeah,
looking
about with lead and then food. That's a bit of a recipe for disaster there.
Well... You asked about Greece. In Greece, they call it St. Basil's Day, one of the forefathers of the Greek church, because it is also celebrated as his death anniversary. Oh, that might have been the guy I was thinking of instead of St. Sylvester.
Yeah, Mr.
Sylvester.
Okay.
They bake some special bread where a coin is buried inside the dough. The procedure of serving the bread is very unique. They offer the first slice to God, the second to the breadwinner of the house, and the third is meant for the house. If this one contains a coin, spring will hit early that year. Mm. Also, whoever gets a slice with a coin is supposed to be blessed with extra good luck.
Beats looking at a gopher, doesn't it? Hey, and this thing about the coin, though, that's...
A groundhog, honey.
Oh, whichever. You Americans, I don't know. It's a gopher, surely. Groundhog day.
Gophers are like that big. Groundhogs are like that big.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Good visual for radio,
then.
Huh?
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, that big and that big. Yeah, you should have seen the fish I caught. It was that big. Right, okay, but I'm just thinking that I've forgotten what I was going to say. Carry on.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. In Wales... At the initial toll of the clock, the back door of the house is first open and then immediately shut. This symbolizes releasing the old year and locking out all the bad luck it brought.
That's a good one.
At the 12th toll of the clock, the door is reopened to welcome the new year in with all its goodness, luck, and prosperity.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Okay. Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico. Some people throw out buckets of water out their window and also clean their homes properly.
Maybe you can. Puerto Rico, yeah, maybe, but not in the middle of, like, you know, Leeds.
Oh, no.
you know.
Not in the middle of Iceland.
Oh, Iceland, yeah, Reykjavik. Imagine that, trying to clean your house properly. Yeah, here we go, did you?
Unless you want ice waterfalls.
Three coats
or
on and a couple of pairs of gloves. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. This, they believe, will clean out the odds of last year. What the world does that mean?
The odds, it'd be like the odd
odds and ends,
things,
I suppose,
yeah,
as well as
yeah,
get the spirits out of the home. All right, let's go to more New Year's traditions. The world's strangest.
Mm.
Some of those are pretty strange.
We haven't had the underwear one yet.
Well, we'll get to that one in this.
This one isn't, that underwear one isn't, excuse me, anything about a Chinese guy that was stealing it from
No, not like your worldwide weird
last week.
No. People in the Philippines have a special belief that on the new year, that wearing something round or eating round fruits will bring good luck for the entire year. People are seen wearing dresses designed with circular patterns, or polka dots, if you want to make it easier to say. Most of them in the island country turn up in polka dot dresses, there, thank you, during the new year, eve of the new
polka
year.
Polka dot bikinis.
Itsy bitsy.
Mm-hmm.
Observing this new weird New Year tradition is expected to attract financial good fortune over the year.
Yeah, well, think about it. It's almost something you can also say about the, you know, circle of the way the year has worked. Start of the year to the end of the year.
Kind of like
circle,
circle
of life stuff.
A yin-yang thing, too.
Yeah, maybe. Sounds a good one, really.
Yeah. Okay. Mexicans have a strange New Year tradition, securing happiness and luck by adorning colorful panties on the eve of the new year.
And this is the one, is it?
People
yeah,
looking for luck are seen wearing yellow-colored underwear, while those will have to find...
Seen wearing
yellow-colored
underwear. Out in public.
Well, yeah.
Really?
I don't think so. I think they do it for their own, you know, and then, like, if they get...
Showing off.
They get to celebrate. Just imagine, you know, you hook up with somebody that night, and oh, you're wearing red underwear. You were looking for love anyway.
Yeah.
So red is for love. White is for, I can't remember
you
what white is.
You can't go around inspecting people's underwear, though.
And green is for prosperity.
Really?
For
what if you wear all of them? What if you wear, you know, multicolored?
How often do you come across green underwear? I don't even want to hear about that. Okay. The yellow underwear was pretty much bad enough. Ecuador observes
You can't beat, a bit of see-through underwear, can you?
Oh, I wonder what kind of luck that would bring you.
I don't know. Maybe none. It depends.
Probably, well, probably not love, but probably lust, right?
Yeah, probably jail term. Anyway, carry on.
Ecuador observes a weird tradition during the new year to bid adieu to the past year. Burning portraits is considered unpleasant, but it seems to be the real fun in Ecuadorian on the eve of the new year. On the eve of the new year, yeah.
Doesn't it mean like printed out pictures?
Or yeah.
Or actual works.
I wouldn't imagine.
I mean, imagine,
no,
you know,
it's
somebody goes into the
Louvre,
steals a few things, like Mona Lisa. No,
yeah,
it's nice tradition.
Yeah.
Up it goes.
No, it says here, photos. It says people gather outside their homes with photos that remind them of their painful incidents or inglorious days from the last year. These pictures are burned by locals with the belief that burning them will help them get rid of the past and make progress smoothly.
See, what happens, I mean, it's all gone digital these days. What if people start chucking hard drives in the fire and, you know, you have USB sticks?
Yeah, they get poisoned by the
plastic
fumes
and stuff.
Yeah. I think they would actually have to print them out and then delete the picture off the hard drive or whatever.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe if you just want to save a bit of time, had a few drinks already, you just start ripping hard drives and, you know, out of machines and throw them on the fire.
All right. Are we done with that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
It might seem creepy and uncanny, but the people in Chile observe a strange custom during the new year by taking a visit to the graveyard. Locals in the small town of Talcán, Chile, celebrate the new year by practicing a freaky ritual of paying a visit to their dead relatives.
That's kind of cool, really, isn't it?
The Spanish Day of the Dead, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cemeteries are found full after 11 p.m. on the night before the New Year as locals throng...
Yeah, living people.
...the place to welcome the year with their deceased relatives. This strange tradition of welcoming New Year in Chile is said to have started way back in 1995.
Oh, dear.
Tradition to visit the graveyard for celebrating the new year is believed to have its origin after a family jumped over a cemetery fence to usher in the new year by being beside some father's grave.
Well, I think it's a nice tradition.
At present, more than 5,000 people in Chile assume to have taken this weird tradition for embracing this new year. So that's what they do in Chile. Now, this one is a really nice one, I think. It is a strange yet common New Year ritual in Turkey that helping out needy, less privileged people by conducting community service and raising funds in the New Year's Day will bring happiness for the entire year. With this belief in mind, a lot of people in Turkey are seen participating in several events organized during this time for community service for raising funds.
Huh.
Charity is not done for getting a girlfriend or a swanky car, but for staying happy because of the blessings garnered while helping out someone in distress. The only thing
yeah,
is...
Yeah, it could
is,
be done one day too, couldn't it?
Well, why do it just for one day?
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Well, at least they do, and at least it gives a good focal
yeah,
point.
Do it one day a month.
Yeah.
You know, one day a week, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, another German tradition...
German, okay.
Yeah, Germans are seen following a wacky New Year tradition to stay happy throughout the year. People in Germany watch the British show Dinner for One every single year since 1972 to ring in the New Year.
Really?
Do you know that show?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
Although one knows of a year since this tradition has begun to be observed by German masses, but very little is known about how the origin of this strange, about the origin of this strange tradition. It may seem an unreasonable tradition, but it has gained immense popularity in the country. Most German are heard using the punchline meaning some procedure every year as a catchphrase to usher in the new year. So that must have been a
it's pretty
line
good,
from your
show.
You've
taken a British film to
yeah,
have done that.
Yeah, well, like I said last week on our show, that my brother and I had the tradition of watching either the Bells of St. Mary's or
yes,
the Trouble with Angels on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just something we do. Well, to go with the fancy underwear in Mexico,
oh, there, yes.
Bolivia changes their underwear at midnight.
In public?
I don't think so. But they say that it invites luck, with the only difference being the Bavarians wait for midnight to put on yellow underwear.
Oh, okay.
So if you have stock in yellow underwear in Bavaria,
yeah,
or
make
Bolivia,
better.
I'm sorry,
okay.
Bolivia,
mm-hmm.
It's going to be pretty cool.
Well, it's windy and cold.
Leaves placed under the pillow to get a husband in Ireland.
Leaves?
Yeah. Most single women in Ireland practice the strange New Year tradition of placing mistletoe under their pillow in the hope of getting a good husband.
Okay.
Irish culture also finds the tradition useful in washing away bad luck. Now, kissing at midnight,
uh-huh,
that tradition, nobody can really find where that tradition began, but they believe it was in medieval times in England. Now, you would think during the medieval times that they'd be worried about spreading plague and all that kind of stuff.
Not
but
really. That's probably how they did end up spreading it, because they weren't worried.
But
they wouldn't know that's what spread it, would they?
No. Apparently, it was to spread wishes of goodwill and harmony.
Uh-huh.
Nobody knows exactly when that tradition was started. So that's those. I'm getting to another page here, just a second.
Oh, I see. Loading it up.
Yeah.
It's time for a break.
Well, maybe
point,
we could take a break because it's not loading too fast.
Mm-hmm. The gerbils are on that wheel.
Let's take a quick break here. 4:45, Boston, More Than a Feeling.
I'm not
Concert one time, Austin.
Did you really?
Yeah,
not in Boston, though.
No, in Fargo, North Dakota.
Ah, where we saw
Fargo, Sticks. North Dakota, yeah. In fact, it was inside the Fargo Dome.
Oh, okay.
And we saw Sticks outside the Fargo Dome.
Just a note to Rihanna on the chat room there. Well, mind you, she won't hear this at the same time, perhaps. I wonder if she's playing at the live moment, which should be 47 minutes, at the top bar there. Because she said she could hear us talking, not the music playing.
Well, that's strange.
Hmm.
And we were getting music out the speaker?
Yeah. Yeah, all seemed fine here.
Huh.
People could hear the tune. With a strange warbling going on because of the compression of the music by the sounds of it.
Can you hear us now, Rihanna?
We won't know for 3 or 4 minutes, maybe.
Well, yeah, yeah.
It's a strange time capsule kind of moment.
Yeah, it was sad what happened to the singer, Simon. He committed suicide, and everybody who knew him always said he was the nicest fellow you could know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What is that song? Foreplay.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh, that was excellent. Big, old, you would know what kind of keyboard it was.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
I'll listen to it later.
I'll have to play it for you.
Good one.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a shout-out?
I will do a shout-out. We got Kathy's Distant Echoes, who is me, who is using that handle just to run things here on the board. Boat Mom's with us, Christy Who, Curious Times Chris, Jennifer's Journey, Medium Renee Richards, Rihanna. Hey, I'd like to mention while we're with Rihanna here that Rihanna and
Linz
will be with us next week, and we will be doing the show an hour earlier, Rihanna, just to let you know.
and there will be live readings, will there?
And
perhaps.
Lynn said that they could do live readings or do some chatting and do a bit of both.
Yeah, yeah. Hang
so
out with these guys. Good idea.
It'll be nice to spend the show with Rihanna and Lynn.
You've got to play a couple of Mellor's tunes as well, of course.
Well, I saved all the Mellor's tunes for next week.
You have you?
Yes,
right,
I have.
Yeah.
So there you go, Rihanna. Simon Swain is with us, always with us. Thank you, Simon. Skycrow, Slider is my mark, and Walk with Spirit is with us. So, Mark, you have some New Year's resolutions.
Oh, no, predictions.
Predictions.
Well, resolutions, yeah. I want to fix the front porch there. We've got a hole in the front porch.
Yeah.
I want to get that fixed. And there's also the shed. So there's a few practical things to be doing. As long as the snow stays off and we get a bit of sunlight.
You know, I don't usually make resolutions, but
really?
This year I'm going to resolve to get my meds leveled.
You know, especially the thyroid stuff.
The thyroid meds leveled so that I'm not gaining weight as badly as I am.
Yeah, okay.
So, because yeah.
Right.
Not healthy.
No, I just thought some predictions might be. Have you got any predictions of your own for this coming year?
I predict that it's going to get colder before it gets warmer here in Oklahoma.
You might be right about that one.
I think I'm right about
you
that one.
Sure.
That was too easy.
Pick something daring.
Something daring. I predict that one of the Rolling Stones is going to die this year.
Oh, dear. Really?
That's sad, but I think they're...
Well, all right, then, to counter that, I say one of the Rolling Stones is going to get remarried. I don't know if any are divorced or anything, but there you go.
Okay.
I'll counter with that. Is that it for your predictions?
I'm not very predictable.
Okay. Well, I just had a couple. I just thought, right, well, first of all, a hoverboard will be released to the public to buy in late summer for $399. It'll be a version of that, what was it called, Hendo system from late last year.
Uh-huh.
I reckon a skate park will be built as a conversion from another one that's in California, fitted with the copper plates that the system actually uses. And that means that Back to the Future 2 will be correct, that 2015 the hoverboard will come out to the general public. I reckon that one. A new form of plastic recycling will be developed, potentially staving off a big problem for landfills. What do you reckon about that one?
Changing plastic production?
Yeah, so they don't have to put everything into the landfills, all the plastic bottles and the rest of it.
Well, it would be nice.
Mm.
More of a biodegradable plastic that won't.
Well, it may be. I don't know. I just thought that might be something to come forward for this year. And also, Luxembourg will invade China armed with recycled plastic forks. I might have that one wrong.
You hold on to that, though, Mark, because we just might see some change in the political climate. You never know.
Oh, you never know. Previous life on Mars will be officially announced. Ah. How about that?
Do you think we'll ever get disclosure?
No. But I think they might find that previous life was around on Mars, which will be a mini version. I don't think there's a disclosure to do as such. I don't. I think that the weight of evidence will build.
I think it's already been disclosed, but they just can't admit it, if that makes sense.
No, it doesn't really.
It doesn't, but it does.
And I reckon that gas prices will go up again by December the 31st.
Ooh, that is bold.
Mind you, tell the UK folks what it costs for a gallon over
UK
there.
UK ghosts. Yes, Simon, Rihanna, it is $1.78.9. Here.
For a gallon.
As of yesterday, for a gallon.
Which is what? £1.20 a gallon? It's about that for a litre, I'm sure, over there.
Yeah, and that's weird because you've got the whole North Sea oil refinery stuff going on there.
Yeah.
What is it?
£1.20 a gallon.
Yeah, if Rihanna and Simon can let us know what the gas prices are over in England, that'd be interesting to know.
Oh, yeah, just to finish with, I reckon that several guidelines will be drawn up to help to repair community policing in this country, and I hope it does.
Oh, definitely.
I don't want to see riots and stuff kicking off, and
yeah.
I'd like to see that happen.
Yeah.
I hope it does.
The protesters in Ferguson came up with a list of demands, and they were very reasonable demands, like releasing the name of an officer involved in a shooting incident immediately so they have accountability and so they don't.
A lot of common sense stuff really was said, wasn't it? Really, in those demands. But I don't know that they were right to charge into the police station in St. Louis. But neither the police right to come storming out with a pepper spray, which was a kind of weird thing to watch yesterday.
Yeah.
But it'd be watching a Disney film, I guess.
Oh, Rihanna says fuel is about $1.13 per liter, so you weren't far off.
Far off, is it?
No. Curious Times, Chris predicts that the Queen will die.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Yeah. Anybody else feel free to...
in this horribilis.
To let us know what your predictions are.
Yeah, sure.
Do you think that Prince Charles will abdicate for Prince William to take it?
I don't know, because there was all that hassle about him getting remarried and whatnot and him not being legitimate for it all or something. Mind you, they're all Greek anyway, aren't they?
Did I say dollar? I meant pound. I'm sorry.
What's that?
I said $1 per liter, $1.13 per liter.
Oh, you mean £1.13?
Yeah, £1.13. So, I'm so sorry. I know better. I goofed up. I need to go crawl in the corner now.
I remember when it was 75p a gallon in the 1970s.
We've only been married for 7.5 years. I haven't caught on yet.
Okay. So we're going to go around the world. There's some more...
Some interesting things, yeah. Auld Lang Syne. Have you ever wondered what it really means?
Yeah, well, old times past or something, isn't it?
It literally means old long ago.
Yeah.
It's the work by 18th century Scottish poet Robert Burns has endured the ages and spread beyond the Scotland and throughout the English-speaking world. Now, I always thought it was an Irish song, and here it's a Scottish song. The song is about the love and kindness of days gone by, but it also gives us a sense of belonging and fellowship to take into the future, according to Scotland.org, a website of the Scottish government. Oh. Isn't that nice? Black Eyed Peas, that's one we missed here living in the South.
We've missed Black Eyed Kids too, which is another good one we've missed. Black Eyed Peas, yes. We did have a lot of those at one time.
We ate them with rice.
Did we?
Yeah.
I don't recall.
They weren't too bad. It's a tradition to eat hop and...
We put some in a bag for the post office to take.
Yes, we did.
Right.
Yeah, for the homeless or the food drive, I believe. It's a tradition to eat hop and john, a stew made of black-eyed peas in the American South. Many Southerners believe that the black-eyed peas symbolize coins, and eating them would ensure economic prosperity for the coming year, wrote Frederick Douglass Opie, a food historian, in his blog For Food as a Lens. We went through the colorful undies and the grapes and the molten lead. Fireworks, that's not surprising. China uses fireworks for celebrations, and of course we all know that.
You know, last night I went outside about 12 o'clock and I got that pint glass in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it did have beer in it. And I went out there, and I could hear all these fireworks going off, and I thought, I'll watch a few of these. I heard about 100 go off and didn't see a single one.
Oh, that's because they're way southeast town.
Oh, really?
At the fairground?
There was some more local than that going
on. Oh, was there?
Yeah, but I didn't see a single one. I thought it was quite hilarious.
Well, that's weird.
Actually, most things were quite hilarious after a few beers last night. But anyway.
So what was your favorite movie in 1985?
Back to the Future 2, thank you.
Good deal, because that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the things the movie got right and wrong about the future.
Oh, so this will bring in the hoverboard then, of course.
Yeah, and if you remember, in Black Eyed Peas, in Back to the Future 2.
Black Eyed Peas, Future 2.
In Back to the Future 2, Marty goes ahead 30 years to the year 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we are now in the year 2015, so we're going to find out what did they predict right and what did they predict wrong about.
Oh, okay. That's so
about
cool.
our society and what has really happened and what hasn't.
Uh-huh.
And they all the people who comment on it, all the futurists who commented on it, is just say that it's, you know, it was meant to be an entertaining movie, not a sci-fi thriller where they were hoping to predict everything correctly.
Yeah, but it's fascinating, that stuff. I mean, have you ever seen some of those 1930s documentaries and 1950s and things about what it's going to be like in the year 2000? And really weird, strange inventions,
yeah.
You seem to think. Plus, of course, there's no flying cars yet.
No flying cars. When are we going to get flying cars?
I'll tell you when. Well, the Fifth Element had them yesterday.
Yes.
Flying taxis and all.
And that was 300 years into the future from 1914, so it's going to be the 23rd
time.
Century.
That'll make an interesting show. You're down for that one. See
yeah.
If you got it right.
Yeah, who's going to challenge me on that?
Yeah.
Futurists have been predicting flying cars almost ever since the car itself was invented, but barriers are big. In terms of basic design, flying vehicles need lift. Cars shouldn't have lift. In terms of driver skill, a car is basically two-dimensional navigation, an airplane is three-dimensional. Big differences in driving skill required. And finally, the FAA. Consider how cautious the regulation, the regulators are being about drones, which weigh a few pounds and don't carry passengers. Multiply that caution by...
No, they do it because everybody wants them, don't you? The air car.
Yeah.
They want them, so it's got to happen.
But it says multiply that caution by, about a million, and that's how the regulators will respond to flying cars. So, and it always seems they're 20 years off in the future, doesn't it?
Always.
Oh, the flying cars are going to come out in 20 years. Why don't you tell us about the hoverboard?
What about it?
You had a prediction that the hoverboard will come out.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, there's that Hendo. I think it's Hendo. I've not read the story again in a couple of weeks, but they've got this electromagnetic system with things on the bottom of it that push up from... it uses an oscillating magnetic force.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to do with lens effects and what have you. And basically, they've got this run of copper underneath, and it reacts with the copper to keep the thing levitated. And who's that famous skateboard guy?
Sure.
Oh, I can't think of his
name. Now you ask.
Anyway, the most famous skateboard guy ever had to go on this Hendo system, and he was shown to be trundling about. Thingy Hawks. Ted Hawkes, Stephen Hawkes, Bob
Hawkes. Ethan Hawke. No, he's an actor.
Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk's a skateboarding guy. Should know that from PlayStation games. Anyway, yeah, he had a ride on it, and he said it was a bit of a strange experience, but it worked.
Yeah, here's what I've got on that. Obviously, the hoverboard was wrong, but there's a hoverboard company now. It uses magnetic repulsion. They're called Hendo hoverboards.
They're Hendo.
They have to be on a certain kind of surface, metal surface. It's a company with big dreams of having a big impact on the warehousing and factory business where you could move things around on big hoverboards.
Oh, yeah.
As of 6 months ago, we would have said, well, they got hoverboards wrong, but Hendo appeared.
No, that system's the leader at the moment.
They've appeared in the last 6 months.
And I reckon by no later than late summer, they'll have one out for $399. Because you can already buy a block thing. It's a box of tricks you can get from their, I think, that Kickstarter or Indiegogo campaign. Where you can buy their technology in a box and muck around with it yourself. And I think they're going to have a proper-looking hoverboard by late summer, $399.
I wonder how much, if you have to have a copper or a metal-based street or course or whatever, you would have to charge a bit to have people use that skate park,
I would say. Well, I guess if Tesla Motors run it, it'd be free. Like they do the charging pumps.
Yeah.
You could have link-ups like that, though. Anyway,
all right.
That's it. It's there. It's 2015, and the hoverboard, I think, was correct from 1985.
Now, we're talking about the food in the show.
Oh, yeah.
The dehydrated pizza. I think this is an interesting point. I was saying before they were creating fiction. There was quite a lot they incorporated that was what people were anticipating. In the 1980s, people were thinking about this idea of dehydrated food. This kind of portrayal of the future helps us to distinguish between the things we think are going to happen and then decide, I want that or I don't want that. So it's and then another one says, microwave dinners are bad enough. Of course, microwave upsets and molecular structure food, which isn't too terribly healthy.
And other people say it's the best way of cooking whatsoever.
Right. I know my home ec teacher thought it was like the greatest thing since sliced
cheese.
Fried bread. Yeah.
Fried bread.
Let's see, the fashion of Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember he had that one jacket where the arms kind of sucked up to fit?
Hang on a minute. And also
the shoes that laced themselves. And
yes.
then he had a pump. And then the Nike pump came out. There's the clothes that self-dry and automatically adjust in a big way to fit Marty. I'm surprised Dyson hasn't made a self-drying jacket of some kind with a little motor in it.
That's one that technically you
could say they got wrong. Let's go down and see.
Mind you get jackets and things with solar panels on now, you know. There's some designers that are doing that. So
really?
You've got strange fashion stuff, like I say, solar panels on jackets.
Uh-huh.
You know.
The wearable technology.
Microsoft's charging pants.
Yes, that one kills me.
I just love the name of that. Yeah, charging pants.
You put your device in your pocket and it charges.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't imagine how you wash something like that.
Carefully.
You know. Yeah, by hand, and then you don't get that pocket in there, so every time you put your hand in your pocket and it rubs the grime off on your pocket, you just can constantly have a block of grime on your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Black-eyed pockets or whatever.
What did they really get wrong in the movie? The number one thing they got wrong was the dominance of fax machines in 2015.
Oh, my. Yeah. I haven't seen a fax machine in a long time.
Yeah. That's characteristic of a common forecasting pitfall, which is to overestimate the importance of something that is dominant in the current time. Fax machines were relatively new in the late 80s. So if you remember when Marty's getting fired, there's a fax coming in. And they refer to the fax machine several times. Sometime in the first 30 minutes, Marty and Doc walk past a U.S. Postal Service mailbox out on the street. It has a big computer terminal and a big sign that says, fax here. Faxes are still around, but they aren't in any way very dominant.
Just replace fax with email.
Yeah.
And then it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That's where it could apply.
I wonder if they had social networking. They got that. Oh, one of the things they got right was the nostalgic cafe. It says, if you remember, they go into the 1980s Nostalgia Cafe, and there's people all dressed up in 1980s clothes, and they're playing video games, and young Marty picks up the video game controller and starts playing a shooter game with a handheld device, and a couple of kids come up and say, what are you doing? You use your hands?
Mm-hmm.
They got that right. They got right that we have gesture-based computing now,
cool,
whether
right,
it's
okay.
touchscreen or just waving your hands at things.
Yeah, well, I see that scene again.
The Jaws 3D movie promo was pretty right. We have 3D everywhere.
Pretty fascinating. Huh?
This one I thought was interesting. One other great prediction. Old electronics had become antiques in 2015. A couple weeks ago, an Apple I from the mid-1970s sold at an auction for $360,000.
I can imagine it. I can imagine
so
it.
Don't,
the originals out of the garage there in Cupertino, wherever
yeah.
it was. Oh, I can imagine that.
So don't ditch that 1984 Mac yet.
Yeah, I know. We've got one. We've got an original
yeah.
Apple Mac. It's,
Apple.
Its keyboards never worked.
Well, I've got an Apple IIe out there.
You have?
Yes.
We're going to be rich.
Yep.
No, we're not. We need an Apple I.
Oh.
I wonder if I can fudge the internals to look like an Apple.
Yeah, and then scratch the 2 and E off the front.
What do you mean you've got a 7.4 last 161N? No, change it to. No, it's possible. No, it's not. It'd be fair, it would be good to see an Apple One running, though.
Here's one that the guy says. One thing I think is interesting is a holographic billboard. There are a couple of technologies which appear to be close to giving us a holographic representation, including a company called Magic Leap. We all want more immersive entertainment. This kind of holographic movie, it seems like something we would want, we would pay for, and it seems like we are getting close. Well, think about the LED signs that they have now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're not holographic and they don't have Princess Leia putting her...
How difficult can it be to put a piece of clear perspex at an angle on a
right.
billboard that's horizontal and get it looking like a hologram in the air? It
yeah.
is not difficult.
Yeah.
Plus, the thing would work as a rain guard.
Sure. Sure, you know what I'm thinking is that you put something black in front of the actual screen itself, and then you put the clear perspex up above, so you don't see the screen.
No, that's right, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
With the black screen, I mean, I've
yeah.
you know, done that on a YouTube video. Similar.
Yeah.
Yes, that could work for advertising, 3D like that. Well, not 3D exactly, but, you know, the kind of heads-up display is really what it is.
How about this? Large screen displays, as long as we're talking about it.
Oh, okay.
Consider that a 24-inch LCD television cost $3,000 in 2005. A 24-inch
yeah.
cost $3,000 and now costs $159.
Do you remember we went to Walmart and we saw the classic? We saw a really big TV in the shopping cart.
Yeah,
the
56-inch.
56-inch, flat as you like. I mean, the thing,
yeah.
I'm surprised it didn't just fall over sideways
yeah.
when it was in the cart.
Well, when I worked at Kmart, I was carrying 42-inch color
yeah.
TVs by myself.
Yeah, carrying them out for the customer.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. 55-inch screens are becoming the norm in many households, and with new manufacturing technology, the wall-size screen will be quite doable by the early 2020s. I'm getting my 20s mixed up here.
Certainly, person height screens on the wall. You could have a virtual butler type of situation, couldn't you? That took orders
yeah.
and what have you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Let me get to something different here now. You want to talk about resolutions?
Mm-hmm.
We already talked and don't make resolutions generally, but...
Yeah. I think like fixing the house is definitely on the list.
Yeah. But for personal resolution, yeah, that's... Getting my meds checked out is what I will do. Here are some of the top resolutions that people make in the year. Look where you stand. What they mean by this is if you made loads of resolutions last year and assess how far you have stood by them.
Oh, of course. Good idea.
If not, it's time you did.
Mm-hmm. Don't make 30 you can't keep. Make 3 that you can't.
Right. Accomplish the incomplete. If you still feel the resolution you made last year and abandoned midway are worth a second shot, give it another chance. Realistic resolutions. Instead of weaving dreams in the air, make a resolution that will have significance and add meaning to your life.
Yeah.
Monitor your progress. Resolve this year to monitor how far you are holding on to your commitment. It will help you to hang on. Quit. Let's quiet an addiction. Quit an addiction. It will not take you anywhere good, trust us. If it does you no good, it will not take you anywhere good,
that
trust
us. That's a
strange
sentence, isn't it?
If it does you no good, why stick to it? If needed, seek help of support groups or professionals. If you have the will, you will find the way. Back to school. Learning has no age. No age. Pick up where you left off. Fit and fitness. Secure a future with fewer trips to the doctor. Exercise. Select a regime you can stick to. A group activity may add to the element of fun to the routine. Lose some flab. But don't set any strict target, for then the chances are that you may get demotivated.
Yeah, you miss the target once, you just give up on it kind of thing. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Soak up some new skills. Learning something new and interesting is always fun and a valuable addition, too. That kind of goes back to school, I think.
Yeah.
Healthy hogging.
Healthy what now?
Hogging.
Oh, really?
You know, like a pig?
Mm-hmm.
Think before you put any morsel in your mouth. Occasional indulgence should be there. So like you always say, treat yourself every once in a while.
So it keeps the mind healthy.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's a simple treat.
Lose the loan. Pay off any debt you may have and feel light at heart. Sack stress. This sounds easier than it actually is. There's no magic tip. You have to find your own haven. Contribute for a cause. Giving back to society is the least we can do to make the world a better place to live in. Treasure your treasures. Splurge is fun, but saving should be the way of living. Plan with your future in mind. Relax the grip once in a while for that blissful indulgence. But should be just one or two, an annual affair.
I mean, you know, a lot of these are common sense in a way, but I guess if you're making resolutions, make sure it is stuff you can keep and you make sure it's stuff you can do.
Exactly. Liven up your lifestyle. Professional growth is okay, but your personal life requires attention too. Strike a balance. That's very important. I think so many people get so wound up in the day-to-day that they don't take care of their soul, their spirit.
Taking time out, to enjoy the self and the moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Organized. Oh, my gosh, Mark.
Yeah.
This is the key to make life easy. Manage time and live stress-free. Make a proper to-do list, and you are halfway there already. Oh, geez, Louise. That would take days to do. Fun with the family. Bonding with the family will add treasure trove of memories for you to cherish all your life. Wowed by wanderlust. If new places interest you, plan to reach out to them. You may consider including a fund for your trotting and your annual budget in your annual budget. Wouldn't that be nice if we had a vehicle that worked?
Yeah, of course,
We can't do this one.
What's that?
Adopt a pet.
Oh dear, we've got four cats.
We've already saved.
Had to give away two, and nobody wanted them on free cycle. Worked that out.
Yeah, we had to save. We saved four cats. And
well, we saved one, and it produced many. Unfortunately, by the time we got a spade, we got a bit of a problem. We had four cats here, and put two on free cycle, and nobody wanted them.
Yeah.
So,
well, good for critters.
Uh-huh.
Took them and got them adopted out, which was very good.
Yeah, but we still have four now.
Yeah, but I wouldn't let you get rid of these. Okay, and anyway, about adopt a pet, it says the devotion, love, and loyalty of a pet can never be matched. Feel the bliss by giving one a home. Wreck a record.
Oh, okay.
This does not necessarily...
Vinyl LPs?
No.
Oh.
No. This does not necessarily have to be a world record. It could be your own set standards. Getting better grades in school, saving more than last year, anything. Relive your childhood.
Hey, keeping a swear jar would make us a bit of cash.
Yeah, you'd be the biggest contributor.
Thank you.
Relive your childhood. Bring back the simplicity in life. Dance in the rain, jump in the puddle, lick a popsicle. Just be carefree. Spice up the mundane. Bring back some sizzle to your daily life. Plan a candlelight dinner. Bring some fresh flowers to your bedroom. This will make life seem more beautiful. unleash the angel in you.
Oh, heck, does this apply to blokes as well? Because I can't see me bringing flowers in the bedroom and
oh, well, remember
angels.
A year ago when I was in the hospital, we had the flowers in the bedroom. This winter,
mind you, we've got
had
peppers. We've got pepper plants going under LEDs.
We've got pepper plants in there.
So I guess I did bring flowers in a way.
Yep. So, manner on you.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. Unleash the angel in you. Nothing feels better than seeing a smile on someone. Do your bit to stand by people who need support. Every little bit of help, every little help matters.
Yeah.
So that's nothing, you know, woo-woo or hairy-fairy or anything like that. It's just...
No, I think, though, for setting guidelines for the next year ahead, all this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It can be missed.
Get struck by Cupid. Falling in love is the most beautiful thing to happen in the new year. And if you are rosy-eyed enough, you could even ring in the wedding bells. Well, we don't have to get that. We already got that.
Uh-huh.
Snooze away to slumberland.
Well, you could do with this one.
Yeah, right. Catch up on the sleep you lost and see a beautiful glow back on you. Bid farewell to those dark circles for good. I've been sleeping way too much. Pep up your habitat.
So you need some dark circles. Do you need to move in dark circles? Is that what he's telling you?
Beautifying where you live is the easiest way to beautify your life and feel with a feel-good factor. Declutter the accumulated junk.
Is that a message to me there?
That goes with the organizing, I think.
Uh-huh.
Life will be more organized with the unnecessary extras gone. Donate the unnecessary stuff to charity. If you want, organize.
Nobody wants old circuit boards or components missing.
Yeah. Well, you never know. That one gal wanted all your...
the old monitors and
monitors,
stuff.
Yeah. If you want, organize a garage sale. The incoming cash may motivate you to declutter. Get a gadget.
Get a gadget.
Like you need to get a gadget. Has there been a gadget you have been longing for? An expensive one? Save up to make it your own. Well, you have lots of gadgets that you use to experiment with.
Old,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Step up or step down social media activity. Now, that's something I've done lately, is step it down.
Oh, really? What, you're Facebooking and things like that?
Facebook, because I've been really getting discouraged with people's negativity on there. Yeah. Not the people in the chat room, though. They're usually pretty cool, but other people.
Yeah. But you mean the general trolls and stuff on Facebook?
Just people who are, I don't know.
I luckily don't know how it works.
Yeah, I don't
really
know.
It just seems like a big, long-running chat room thing.
Yeah, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you've been out of touch with your pals and peers, social media will help you get back in the groove. But if your virtual life is affecting your personal life, it is time you remedied that. Tame the mane. A brand new makeover will be a great way to discover the new you. That's funny. I just cut my hair.
Yeah, she did.
Yep. From vocation to profession. When your hobby becomes your profession, it not only brings in money, but also makes working a fun experience. Positive approach to life. Vow to always view the glass to be half full. This will help you solve any obstacle you may face in life. Speak your mind. That's kind of tough. Check the niceties. It is mandatory to say no at times. However, remember, politeness pays too. Judiciously decide according to the situation. Get pictured at the wonders of the world. This is for the travel bugs. This would be an experience of a lifetime, but it needs advanced planning.
Mm.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah, but again, it's talking really about attainable goals, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Proper planning.
If we could attain that goal, where would you go?
Peru.
Peru?
I think so.
I'd go Peru or Egypt.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in Peru. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Egypt.
Hey!
Well, we can use that guy's warp drive he's making in his garage to get from one place to the other.
You know what else, too? Remember, you mentioned that city they found in Turkey.
Oh, my. There's a new city about 100 miles, 100 kilometers in size under the ground, yes. It's bigger than, what's it called? Menju Darrow or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, just been discovered. It's fascinating stuff.
That would be cool.
They reckon it's 5,000 years old. What made people go underground 5,000 years ago?
How did they determine it's 5,000 years old if they don't have any artifacts?
I think they found
artifacts.
Some artifacts.
Oh,
fact,
they did.
They found this a year ago and didn't say anything for a year.
Oh,
makes
okay.
You wonder if they, you know, spirited some things away. We can't have them
seeing
yeah. that. We never know.
Yeah.
That's a conspiracy. But it's a very fascinating place. And apparently it's linked by a 13-mile tunnel, too. What is it called? Mahenjo-Daro or something like
Mahenjo-Daro,
that.
Mahenjo-Daro? Something like that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh, there's one in Malta that's underground as well.
All right, well.
Is that about us?
No, I got a few more.
Okay.
We got 10 minutes left. Learn a language. Language skills.
Oh, yeah, Simon's just put 10 minutes. Huge letters.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Simon.
Language skills are always an added plus. Chuck the couch. Whether we use a slang to call it being a couch potato or an ornamental term like sedentary lifestyle, if you belong to the category, you need to break out of the vicious cycle.
When was the last time you sat on that couch? Which year, should I say?
No, it was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But
we don't live in the living room, do we?
Yeah.
It's too cold this time of year.
It's 34 degrees out in the house. Present a hand, make tokens.
Do what now?
Present to hand, make tokens or cards with every gift. That didn't.
Oh, make something. Along,
yeah.
Yeah, make something handmade that goes along with a gift or something.
Yeah.
In other words, don't go buy a big TV.
Right.
For somebody, make something that goes with it, like a handmade card, I guess.
Okay, you're going to.
Handmade remote control.
You're going to do this one?
What's that?
Go for a blind date?
No.
Okay. For adventurous souls, a blind date may be fun, but take care to consider the risk factors and take an adequate precautions.
Mind you, it did say about the candlelit meal, didn't it? Why don't you set that up and I'll walk in the room with my eyes closed?
Yeah.
Anyway, we sort both things out there.
And then I feed you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Wake up to world news. Newspaper may seem boring, but not staying abreast with current affairs will make you a bore in a crowd. Stay informed. I had to actually stop paying attention to world news because it was depressing me so badly.
Stuff, yeah, it's like newspapers, isn't
so
it?
So you have to balance
I've always
that.
Liked the and finally at the end of news reports. So
yeah.
About that.
Yeah. Groom your green thumb. Well, this is one Mark's done.
Oh, yeah.
A patch of greenery is a solace to in the concrete jungle we live in. Well, if a garden seems too much, even a few potted plants would liven up your living space. Patron the prints. E-books and soft copies are great and convenient, but nothing compares to the luxury of snuggling up with a nice read. Hit the library and feel it. Waste not, want not. If there's something you don't want, food, extra medicine, etc., hand it down to those who do.
You can't give away medicine. Not in this country, can
no,
you?
No, not really. Aspirin, that kind of stuff, okay. I suppose. Terminate the tantrums. Being opinionated is okay, but having your fuse blown off at the slightest pretext is not. Neither are mood swings. They make you out of bounds for friends, even if they do not want that. Pep up your parents. Doing something nice for your parents will bring you guaranteed bliss. You are the best to know what will light up their face with a smile. And that's one thing I've done since my parents have moved to assisted care living, independent care living, I guess. It was a traumatic move for them and stuff, so I call them more often.
Yeah, and they seem to fit it in quite well.
Yeah.
Seems to have a few hobbies and things
yeah.
going on and good contact.
Give up on a bad habit. Old habits die hard. Some really need to, like biting nails, biting your lips, etc. Endear a diary. Letter writing is a dead art, but expressing feelings is not. And nothing pleases a literary mind more than a few solitary moments with pen and paper. Pour your heart out in a diary. Remember the important dates. Remembering birthdays, anniversaries, etc. will make your loved ones feel special, wanted, and cared for.
Back to that last one.
Uh-huh.
When was the last time anybody said, "Can I borrow your pen?" How many people use pens, really, nowadays? They don't
yeah.
do
no, that's wild. Huh. Interesting.
Have you got a biro? No one says that.
Well, we don't say that in American.
Oh, well, that's
America.
Probably why.
Yeah.
Can I borrow your pen? How about that? Anyway.
Pamper yourself once in a while. You deserve it. Do whatever your heart desires. But remember not to go overboard. Enrich your vocabulary. communication is vital in any sphere of life, and Richard vocabulary to master the art of reaching out. Overcome a fear or mental block. This will make you feel liberated. It will free your mind of shackles. Be sincere about punctuality and commitments. This is a resolution, if followed, would help you succeed in life and be respected too.
Well, definitely. Things like, well, I'll be there for 8, and they never are.
That's Muskogee time.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll come round tomorrow afternoon. So you stay in all afternoon.
Yeah.
You don't turn up.
Yeah. Supernatural Radio, good for you, reading Fahrenheit 451.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's
making
a great book. Yeah.
And yeah. Thanks for the kind comments, too, in chat. It's very nice from Rihanna and others, Skycrow.
Well, thank you all for being here today, too.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. Going over.
I've learned a lot about traditions.
New Year's resolutions and spending time, and we certainly don't want to run over time with Simon yelling at us.
Ah, yes, with the large phone. 4 minutes there, you see.
Oh, no, we appreciate your kindness, Simon, so much, and we do appreciate having you monitor us and be our online producer.
Yes, the official online producer.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. But I hope you all have a very happy new year and maybe make some resolutions that you can stick to and don't find too difficult.
I think the message there really was be a bit sensible with it, make it easily, make some things, you know, attainable that you can do the next couple of weeks, or definitely keep two within the year. Things that we know are bad for us, I guess. And
yeah.
Finally, times to change.
Well, we're going to go out with the Beatles, Revolution. So that's it from him.
And that's it from her.
Have a good week.
Disruption. Don't you know that you can count me out? Don't you know it's gonna be alright? Alright. Alright. You say you got a real solution. Money for people with minds that hate. All I can tell you is, brother, you have to wait. Chairman Mao, you ain't gonna make it with anyone anyhow.